is a free download from the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/podcasts.
Hello, welcome to the podcast. My name's Ian Lee. Then you introduce yourselves.
Hi, welcome to Ian's podcast.
I've done that bit.
My name is Kelly Betts, at Kelly Betts on Twitter, if you want to have more updates
just
on
the,
my life.
The name from the other lady.
And I am Boris Becker.
Oh,
really is.
She is always doing it in cupboards.
I don't know what that means.
It's a reference to something that happened 15 years ago.
Can I put it in the podcast?
Yeah, yeah, it's fine.
We're not going to get in trouble.
I'm asking, looking at Mum.
No, I think we do know that he did that. I didn't know, so you would be in trouble with me.
OK, that's excellent stuff. Wait, can I just say, it's only Thursday when we're recording this.
Yes.
We've still got another day to go. But I reckon this
we've
is...
We've peaked.
Oh, please. I reckon this is probably... No. This is definitely the best podcast we have ever done. It's been a very, very strong week.
That's a brilliant
start. Do it like a conversation.
That's a brilliant start.
Do it like a conversation.
But that's a great, you know, we don't need to do
anything.
Why
are you acting? Just,
what
Catherine,
do you mean?
Do it. You do it.
Just talking.
You're just talking about it being a strong week. What do you mean by that?
Why are you both acting? Are you
I'm not acting. I'm asking you what
you're acting with your Sergeant Pepper top.
This is... All right, we'll do it conversationally.
Right,
this has been a really strong week, hasn't it, guys?
Yeah, I thought it was quite good in many ways. In some ways.
Yeah, it was all right.
Well, you're acting.
This is who I am.
An actress. All right, OK, link into the first bit without acting. It says here, Weather and Talkies, Peter Music Review and Jellyfish. So go into that without acting. That even that was... even
wow.
That sigh was a little bit
I
workshop.
I feel like I'm being analysed.
Did you get that line from a film or something?
Yes.
Weather and Talkies, Peter Music Review, Jellyfish.
Coming up, here we go.
And in sport, England manager Roy Hodgson will announce his World Cup squad at Vauxhall in Luton today, and there will be no Ashley Cole. The Chelsea star has announced his international retirement after being left out. I like how they announce their international retirement when they've not been picked, when they've been basically been told they're not going to play internationally anymore anyway.
Taking the ball home.
Yeah, I'm retiring.
No, I dumped you.
No, I dumped you. I dumped you. I dumped you. Now, I've got some exciting news.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Got a new weather girl today.
Right.
Should we find out?
Yeah.
Find out if she's any good. Let's get the latest weather.
Beds, Hearts and Bucks weather.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Hello, good morning. There will be a mixture of sunny spells and... do you mind?
I do, actually.
I'm doing your weather voice.
This new weather girl sounds a lot like our old Kelly Betts.
Oh. No, she's been sacked. This is a new weather girl.
I shall
continue.
That's her trying to do a posh voice.
There will be a mixture of sunny spells and scattered showers today. Some of the showers will be heavy and thundery at times, but winds will be lighter than in recent days. Therefore, the nature of the showers are likely to be
wet,
slow-moving, leading to some prolonged downpours in places.
Wow.
Particularly over the Downs, I'm assuming Dunstable Downs. Feeling pleasant in the sunny spells, in between the showers. Maximum temperature of 15 degrees Celsius.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
If you believe that, you believe anything.
Yeah,
that,
fantastic. Thank you, Kelly. Hey, I had a weird thing. I had a weird weather... OK, so things that put you off beaches...
Do I do my normal voice now?
Yes.
Oh, hi.
And weird weather...
Right. Right.
Weird weather. I had a weird weather thing. It was very rainy at the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, I'm driving. I'm stuck in traffic, OK? Stopped at the traffic lights. On the other side of the traffic lights, it's raining. Where I am...
It's not raining.
It's not raining.
What?
Isn't that weird? That's weird.
Weird weather.
That is weird weather.
Weird weather, call me now.
08459 4. It's better than what puts you off the beach.
Here's a good one.
Go on.
This one's
going to
go. This is the one.
All right.
The late Peter...
Is it weird weather?
No, it's mediums.
Oh,
and you know we've got...
Oh, don't...
Psychic Gary's best client.
Don't, because then Justin will start looking for more Ev. We don't want to encourage him.
Well, listen, it works. We know it works.
Yes.
The late Peter Sellers' youngest daughter, Victoria, announced
in the
press...
She's troubled.
Yeah, that her father has apologised via a medium for excluding her from his will. Look, if she believes it and it makes her feel better, what's the harm?
Birdie num-nums.
Sellers pictured. I'm glad they've said it was him pictured, because you might think it was Victoria and think, did she look like her dad?
Did she look like my old teacher, Mr. Collins?
He died aged 54 in 1980 with and barely left his three children a penny, with the bulk of his 5.5 million fortune going to his fourth wife, Lynn Frederick. Victoria, 41, claims she's now let go of the anger. She can hardly be blamed for bearing emotional scars. Friends recall the notoriously superstitious Sellers once even flew into a rage. Why? Because she wore a purple dress and he thought it was unlucky.
He would have hated Catholicism and Prince then, wouldn't he?
So what's the question? Yeah, the
medium. Have you come to terms with something through the help of a medium?
Oh, flipping it, Kath.
We might have to just go, can you phone up and say birdie num-nums?
I've got a good one.
Oh, no. Oh,
but it's that whole thing of, if it makes you feel better, is there any harm in it?
Yes, there is.
Would you like to hear my one?
Yes, I suppose so.
08459 455 555. Doesn't Susanna Reid look great on...
Right.
She's wearing turquoise.
This is what we've got so far.
What ruins the beach?
Weird weather. Have you spoken to Peter Sellers via the magic of a medium?
No. Mediums. If they help, is there any harm in it?
And isn't Susanna Reid hot?
No. Doesn't she look nice today on Good Morning, This is Britain, Welcome to Britain?
Oh, dear.
The phones have literally gone cold. You two have killed my good phone-in. That's what you've done. Now, at the weekend, Justin, it was the battle of the music shows on BBC Three Counties Radio.
Yeah.
Yours was on between 9 and 12. How do you feel yours went?
I think I had a very powerful programme on Saturday morning. Actually, incredibly powerful.
OK. Mine was on between 5 and 6. And if I'm completely honest, I forgot about it until 10 to 6 when I was in Ealing, West London. And I thought, oh, I'm on the radio. Yeah. And I turned it on in Ealing. I could pick it up perfectly. And I thought it was very, very powerful, emotional. I'm going to say it, spiritual radio.
I thought it was excellent, actually. I heard about, 15 minutes of the programme? On the way to the gym, I thought, Ian Lee, he's back on the radio again. But one bit of feedback for you, the links were slightly too long for a music programme. You know, probably, 30 seconds tops, not 3 minutes.
If you want to do it the easy way, then you can. If you can make those longer links work and add a bit of personality, then go for it. But it's not for everybody. Peter is in Wolverton. Not everyone's got that skill. Peter, you listened to both shows, is that right?
Good morning, Ian, peace be with you, brother. And Justin, of course. Yes, I listened to both programmes with a critical ear, of course.
Of course.
And Justin started off great with Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah.
And so did you, Ian, The Who, I'm a Boy.
Yeah, great start.
Fantastic rocks. Both had good content. I'm very pleased with all the golden oldies, etc. Ian, you had lots of information on the stars and the people that actually were making the records, which was very interesting indeed.
Yep.
Out of 10, I would say Justin had 10, but Ian, I'm afraid you had 10 as well.
Right, we need a stewards. It's a photo finish. we need a steward! But Peter... I appreciate that, and you're right. But if you had to... Okay, your house is burning.
Yeah, Peter.
Right, your house is burning down.
Don't say that.
No, well, it's not. Okay, right, okay.
The smoke alarm's going off.
The smoke alarm's going off. You're panicking. You've got... you're the boss of Three Counties Radio, okay?
Yeah.
And you've got two compact discs. One is Justin's show, one is my show. They are in separate parts of the house, Peter. You haven't got time to go and get both compact discs, but you know you have to get one, otherwise there's going to be a gap on the radio and Beds, Hards and Bucks could not stand that. Which CD are you going to grab?
Attention!
This is evil, isn't it? I'd save my wife first.
Right, your wife's out. Your wife's on holiday.
If I had time.
Yeah.
No, that's unfair, isn't it?
It is unfair. Yeah, all house fires, fires are unfair.
You both had very, very good programmes, and they were different. Ian, you had... The last record was Beach Boys.
Yeah.
And Justin had... the last record is Bright Eyes. Bright Eyes would give me tears. The Beach Boys would give me a smile.
So mine was better.
I'd go for Ian.
Yo, Peter, we got there in the end.
He's going to get a slap. Send the boys around.
Justin, don't give Peter a slab. He's wished peace upon us.
You can't judge a programme on the last record.
Oh, it was a great Beach Boys song I played. Bright Eyes, Art Garfunkel, just.
Yeah, because somebody remembered it from their leaving doing. It made them cry. We go for the powerful musical memories. We just reach into a bag and pick out songs.
Stay with me, Paul, because we've been talking this morning about what ruins the beach for you. For me, it is, well, A, the sand, B, the sea, C, the sea urchins. Have you ever trodden on a sea urchin?
I've never been anywhere where there have been sea urchins. Yeah. Don't go on those exotic holidays.
Barbara's in Stevenage. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
Barbara, you're through to myself, Ian Lee and Paul Scoynes. Good morning.
Right, good morning. Ian, don't go anywhere near those jellyfish. They are deadly. They will sting you like mad. Even when they're on the beach and you think they're dead, they still sting. They're called man-of-war jellyfish. They've been going around for donkey's years. But the point is, that's where they first originally found them, in Portugal. Yes. And they come into the harbours and anywhere, and they will sting like mad. And they come in packs, you know, they swim together. So sometimes you go out in the boat and they're actually in packs and,
I'm going to say something that might sound silly.
Go.
Can jellyfish talk to each other?
I don't know if they can talk to each other, but they kind of communicate because they go around in...
Psychically?
Presumably whatever they do, but they actually go around in pods and things like that.
Psychic jellyfish in pods. This sounds like you're nodding at this, Paul. You know a lot about jellyfish, do you?
Well, I know that the Portuguese man of war isn't the most dangerous jellyfish on the planet.
What is the most dangerous?
I believe, and I'm willing to be corrected because I'm not a botanist, but...
That's not what I heard.
I understand the box jellyfish from Australia is far more
lethal. Does that sound about right, Barbara?
But you don't get them in England.
You don't
get them in England.
To be fair, you don't really get the Portuguese man of war in England, do you?
No, but only if hot weather comes in.
Well...
And you've got some hot weather
coming. It does
depend
on the Gulf Stream.
Yeah.
And that is changing at the moment.
But in defence to Barbara, there's more likelihood of getting a Portuguese man of war than a boxfish.
Jellyfish.
Yeah, considerably more.
There is. Well, it depends where you live.
But as I say, don't go even go near them on the beach when they're dead.
Don't look at them.
Don't look at them. Don't touch them even.
Can I not even look at a psychic dead jellyfish in a pod?
Don't prod them.
Don't touch them.
What? Is it actually jelly?
No, I don't know what it is. But it looks like a polythene bag and everybody goes up and touches them and they sting like mad.
Is it... Now, Paul, you'll know about this. Is it the jellyfish where if I were to be stung, unfortunately, by a Portuguese man of war or a boxfish, and we were out swimming together and I got stung, would I have to ask you to urinate on me?
Some of the milder stings can be alleviated with ammonia, which, of course, is partly what urine is made of. Well, or is conduct? Yeah, I don't know.
I think I'd rather sting than have you wee-wee on me.
The box, though, that's beyond even human. You need... I mean, basically, it attacks your nervous system.
All right, mate, calm down. Why do we have jellyfish, Barbara? What?
I haven't got...
Can we not start the campaign now... Cadj. I've just started a campaign called Cadj. Kill all jellyfish. Can't we electrocute the sea or something and get rid of all jellyfish?
No, that wouldn't work.
Why not?
Because you'd electrocute all the fish as well.
That's the price we have to pay for freedom.
No,
it
wouldn't work.
This is all the butterfly flapping its wings, though, Ian. You know.
Sorry? I don't want to kill butterflies, although I hate them, but I let the butterflies live. I'm generous like that. But the jellyfish, let's run... Not Hitler, the other fella. Who was the good one? Churchill, Barbara. One of his plans, and you'll know this, Paul, one of his plans when we were losing the war was to set fire to the English Channel. Have you heard that, Paul?
I haven't heard that.
That is a fact.
Is it?
Have you heard that, Barbara?
No.
Catherine, have you heard that?
No.
Okay. Kelly, have you heard that?
No.
Okay, right. Back me up. I need an old man or someone to back me up on there. War person. War
set
man.
Set fire to the Channel.
His plan... This is absolutely true. His plan was to kind of flood the Channel with barrels of oil and then set fire to them.
Was that in the same part of his notebook along with exploding cigars?
Right.
Didn't he fight most of the war drunk? And I mean that with the greatest respect, but seriously. Though he was pretty off his face on gin most of the time.
So Barbara, you're going to be the head of Cadj, kill all jellyfish.
Aww.
You're our figurehead.
Okay.
Thank you, Barbara. I appreciate that. Paul's going to do some research for me and very specific research.
Right.
Okay. Listen to this because you totally muffed it up last time, and that fella phoned up to have a go at me. So listen. Can you find out about Churchill's plan to set fire to the English Channel for me and then come back and apologise. Well, they were good bits. I just think your introduction to them was a little bit... Let's try a game. We'll play a word association game. I'm going to fire a word, you respond. Kath's going to fire a word, you respond. Ad infinitum.
OK, and what's this for?
Just to try and relax you a little bit.
OK, I'm fine.
Chair.
Hat.
Pig.
Hat.
Can't be the same. OK, so start again.
Mm-hmm.
Chair.
Goat.
Melon.
Pat.
Window.
Lips.
I'm really bad at this. I can't associate words with anything.
You've been rubbish at mallets, mallet.
How do you construct... All right, me and Kath will play it, OK? And so you see it, and then you do it, OK? So watch, OK. Desk.
Table.
Chair.
Drawer.
Key.
Lock.
Door.
Knob.
You. I win.
That's good.
Yeah, you got it? You and Kath have a go, because
I can't do it.
Go on, Kath.
I try it all the time. I can't do it. I've played this before.
Okay, come on.
It ends in
cheese.
Butter.
Cheese.
Oh, that was one.
You did one. Yeah. Right, okay, let's go. Right, let's go.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Cheese.
Butter.
Bread.
Ham.
Knife.
Caught.
She was going to say something really
rude. She was going to say cockerel, which is fine. I tell you what, you calm down. We all went out on Monday night. We won an award.
Winner.
We're winners. It's only my name on the award, but, you know, I'm generous. Anyway, we went out. We got 3 hours sleep. But yet Catherine and I managed to turn up for work on time. Even Dealey got in and he was boozed up to his eyeballs. However, not everybody did turn up on time. I'm talking about you, Kelly. Listen. We've got a phone call. We've got no Kelly Betts to take it. Oh,
travel news for Beds, Cards and Bugs.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Stay there, Alice, we're coming to you. Alice, we're coming to you. Stay. We're not coming to you, Alice. Let's do the heads. I haven't got the heads.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
No. Don't. Please don't judge us. Please don't judge us. We are all basically incompetent today. But I promise you, by a quarter past... What time do you call this?
I've been here the whole time.
Sorry?
You could have told me we had work experience. I've got an example to set.
Well, we sent Justin out to try and track you down because we were worried about you. This is what happened.
Here we go. And just to confirm, you were working at the hotel. The last time you saw her, she was in a real mess, yes?
Yes, she was.
Oh, dear.
She may still be asleep. She might still be sleeping, actually.
Yeah, do you think she's been sick?
Possibly. She did get in quite late.
Can you just again confirm that she looked a wreck?
I would say some sort of a wreck, yeah.
Should we try again?
Yeah.
OK, let's do it, boss.
This isn't ringing your room, is it?
Let's give it one more go.
Welcome, voice
box. Wow. She's really out for the count.
Unlucky. Sorry about that.
Unlucky. Thank you very much indeed for your time. Really appreciate it. Have a good day.
Wow, Justin's doing the voice that he uses when someone's pet's been shot. That's how serious he takes this issue. What have you got to say for yourself?
I've been here the whole time.
Sorry?
I've been here the whole time.
OK, fine. Look, if you've been here the whole time, how come we didn't get to speak to Alice Glossop and there were no heads?
Oh, well, a few reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Just work it out yourself.
Dennis phoned in to tell us a story about Douglas Fairbanks Jr. using his toothbrush to clean his teeth and clean his fingers whilst Dennis was the manager of a bowling alley. I've told the story.
Wait, yeah, you've ruined it. No one's going to want to listen to Dennis telling the story about that man who used these toothbrushes.
They will, because they won't have believed their ears.
No, and you won't believe it now. My team were frantically waving at me behind the screen, trying to... I say screen, it's a window. Why don't you call a window a screen? That's just nuts.
Idiot.
Sorry?
Idiot. Huh? Oh, sorry.
Your microphone's open. Who's the idiot now?
You still.
No, it's Dennis in Dunstable. No, I mean, Dennis in Dunstable is on now. I'm not saying you're an idiot, Dennis.
Thank you very much.
Dennis, have you got your pressure socks on?
Yes.
Good, because I'm about to blow your legs.
I have water retention, would you believe? Wine retention. Wine retention, I'd love. Water retention.
I'm about to blow your mind.
Go on.
Last night, we went to a little do, and we
won. Yeah, I heard all about it.
We won an award. Yeah. We won an award. Yeah. I had to get up and make a speech. Guess who I thanked in the speech?
I don't know. Who was it?
All of my team.
Yes.
Then guess who I thanked at the end of my speech?
Who?
You, Dennis!
Why?
I've got no idea why! I just said it a big thanks to Dennis in Dunstable!
Oh, that's for keeping your programme going, that's why.
Well, hang on a second, let's not get... All right, already he's won one award. He's got ideas above his station. But yes, you got a little mention in front of... in front of Roger Daltrey from The Who.
Oh, that's good, yes.
Roger Daltrey and Susanna Reid are now aware of who you are.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't go back and listen to it.
No, you can't do that, I'm afraid, Dennis, but you just have to take my word for it. What do you want?
You wanted to know about these people, well-known people. There was a time when I ran a temping bowling centre at Swindon, right?
Yes.
And the boss was Douglas Fairbanks Jr.
Fairbanks Jr.?
Yeah, the actor.
Yeah.
And he came over to visit, and he said, I've been travelling a bit, can I use your office... toilet and dress and get washed. So he's having a wash.
Douglas Fairbanks Jr. is using your...
Said,
hang on.
A toothbrush. So I said, yes.
Yeah.
So I said, personal one. He said, oh, that don't matter. I'll use it. So he uses my toothbrush, cleans his teeth.
Are we building up to a punchline here?
Then he scrubs his fingernails with it.
Here we go.
And it's all grey and tatty. And he gives it back to me. Yes. And I just dropped it in the dustbin. He said, what do you do that for? I said, I'm not going to clean my teeth after you've scrubbed your nails with it. I thought, what a thing to do.
My personal toothbrush. I don't get it.
I didn't get it either.
Is that a joke or did it actually happen?
No, it actually happened. No, it happened.
Douglas, you were working in a bowling alley.
I was running it at Swindon.
Was this before or after you were in prison making rocking horses?
Oh, this was long before, yes.
Douglas Fairbanks Jr. I don't know which part of this story is more fantastical.
Well,
Douglas,
no, it was the boss. The company was called Fairlanes.
Douglas Fairbanks Jr. owned a bowling alley in Swindon.
Swindon, yep.
That you were the manager of.
Yes.
He came over, he borrowed your toothbrush.
Yeah.
He brushed his teeth and he cleaned his fingernails with it.
Yeah, and then gave it me back. As though I was going to use it.
Am I still... did we wake up this morning and did my alarm fail to go off? You should have kept it. You could have, if only you kept it and thought, you know what, maybe 40 years in the future there'll be some kind of system where I can sell unwanted junk.
I'll tell you what I really wanted.
On a computer and make money.
He was one of the few men who could walk around with a flower in his buttonhole without looking like a fairy.
I wonder where you're going to suggest that flower was going. I wonder where that was going to go. That story just strikes me on every level, as you said, Kath, as complete and utter the bullshine.
It sounds like a dream, like you said, like a dream. Douglas Fairbanks was there. There was a bowling alley. There was a toothbrush. Why did you have a toothbrush at your bowling alley?
Dennis,
yes.
Have you ever pretended your name is something different? Well, you strike me as the kind of guy that likes to lead a double life.
No, I don't lead a double life. It's bad enough leading the single life.
Isn't it? Just tell me about it. Catherine?
For about 6 months of their courtship at the start, my grandma thought my granddad's name was Vinnie Royle. His name was Herbert Boyle.
Is that just because she was hard of hearing or because that's what he told her?
He styled himself that way. Vinnie Royle.
Yeah, love. My name's Vinnie Royle and I am here, my love.
It wasn't Jimmy Savile.
He's doing a Manchester accent.
Wow.
Paul Scoynes is awake, guys. Paul Scoynes is emailing me abuse. Paul Scoynes. Can I just say this, dear listener? Paul Scoynes is the political... Come in, Scoynes. Come and join the party. Get this, Kelly Betts, right? Catherine and I came back home with the lady boss last night in my car because we had to be up early. We're responsible. You all got the minibus and you were all drunk. Paul Scoynes phoned me at 1:30 in the morning. For 3 minutes on my phone, all I heard was,
It's the sound of the police. It's the sound of the police. It's the sound of the police. For 3 minutes, he's the political correspondent at BBC Three Counties Radio. And he said, come on in, you've got to come out with us. I said, Paul, it's 1:30. I've got to be up at 5:15, and that's a lie-in for me. I'm not going to come. He said, I'm going to find out what room you're in. And when Catherine and I went to our rooms, separate rooms, when we went to our rooms last night, we said to the lad on reception, we've got some friends who are going to be coming soon. Do not tell them what rooms we're in. We made that, gave them that specific request. And Scoyne said, I'm going to knock on every door in that hotel. And if they get upset, I'm going to go, I own the hotel. I own the hotel. I've changed what he said ever so slightly. Catherine will explain to you. I'm sure you can work it out. This is the BBC Three Counties Radio political correspondent said that.
Oh, dear.
Can you believe that? Yes.
Did you go to Stringies? That was the plan, wasn't it?
Daily wanted to go to Stringies. Stringfellows of all places. Of all places in the world. But honestly, you've not lived until you've had 3 minutes of Scoynes going, it's the sound of the police.
I think Stringies is Justin's natural habitat.
He would just explode. We were sat at a table and we were sat next to some people from another BBC local radio.
Everyone in Worcester, weren't they?
Yes, it was. And he was, Justin sat next to a very nice young lady.
We kind, the poor girl.
The poor, I mean, I didn't get her name. I'm so sorry. We had to, when Dealey went to the toilet, we had to organise kind of a little shuffle around the table so she wasn't sat next to him. He had his shirt unbuttoned to his navel. And we said to her, look, don't worry, we've moved. It won't be anything appropriate, but you don't want to sit next to that. And then when we all sat down and Dealey came back, she leant over and said, yeah, now he's sat opposite me, I can see everything. Thanks very much.
He did start out with a tie on, but that ended up around his head, didn't it?
It ended up around something. I have just indulged in one of my favourite secret little pleasures. And it just, every time, I don't get to do it very often. It's not that, Kelly, no. I don't get to do it very often, but whenever I do, it just makes, look at the smile on my face.
You really are smiling.
Yeah. Have you been to the loo and not washed your hands again?
No, I wash my hands now.
All right. Was it that?
No. I do that all the time.
Was it something that you did in the loo?
Something I did on the way back from the loo. Something.
Did you call Scoynes?
No. It's something I do that all the time. I get to do it maybe, I don't know, once a year.
What was that?
What was that?
You sounded like Gollum then.
What was that noise?
That was my that was my calculation voice.
Do it again.
I don't need to calculate
it. You can't.
Oh, I can do it again. That's my calculation voice.
You can't physically do that again. That's.
I can do it again, but I know the sum. I do it about once a year. Sometimes I might do it twice a year, but.
I love it.
What?
That's everyone's got a little pleasure.
Everyone's got a calculation voice.
Your chin just retracted fully into your neck.
Okay, so I've got a chin.
Well done.
Anyway, what's this point? Anyway, what is your pleasure?
I got to take an unnecessary key off my key ring and get rid of it. I mean, my key is just that little bit.
Good story.
No, whoa, hey!
Hey, if I had a show on the radio, I would definitely talk about that.
People need to know this stuff.
No, yeah. Listen, people back me up on this. 08459 455 555. It is one of God's gifts to us, the realisation that we've got a key we don't no longer need. And we can take it off and we can chuck it in the
bin. Why don't you no longer need it?
Not got that door no more.
But since,
I've not got that door no more.
Since when?
Since 6 months ago.
So you could have taken it off 6 months ago. You've had it for 6 months unnecessarily. Right.
Okay. I don't like this laughing at my estimation voice. And it turns out there's a face. I didn't realise there's a face.
Your voice is annoying.
I've ever heard.
Everyone's got, right, okay. 08459 455 555. Everyone's got an estimation voice.
Well, that's mine.
And you're faking that. And one of life's pleasures is being able to take a key off the key ring we no longer need and get rid of it. There's nothing in the papers today. Kels, we're so short on material. We are so short on material, we may be coming to you later on for a little bit of bants.
So I just listened to the bit of the show yesterday because I'm clipping for the podcast.
Sorry?
Yesterday just morning. Moving on. Sorry, I'm just ignoring you guys because sometimes when you speak, it's actually going out on air.
How rude.
Other people hear what you're saying.
Yes.
So I'm listening to the little bit yesterday.
Yeah.
You had no travel or headlines.
When?
You literally couldn't survive without me.
At 6:15. Well.
It's an absolute shambles.
Yeah, but where were you? Where were you?
I was...
In bed.
You were in bed 3 minutes away. Literally, not even 3 minutes, 1:30 away.
I'm really surprised she brought that up because we covered for her beautifully. We didn't mention to anyone, did we, that she'd...
Well, according to what I'm listening, you mentioned it quite a lot.
We did mention it a lot. Do you want to redeem yourself?
Sure.
Do you know what redeem yourself means?
Yes, I do, of course.
What does it mean?
Like, sort of cover myself. Do I want to come back from this?
Okay, yeah. Find me a song.
Yeah.
Mamas and Papas.
Yes.
Glad to be Unhappy.
Oh.
It's good, yeah? No?
Well, it's a conflicting title. I'd be interested to hear that lyric.
It's a paradox. It's an oxymoron. You're an oxymoron, Kath. So could you... Well, I wasn't looking at you.
I can still hear you.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't be listening. You're a div.
I'm a what?
Nothing. Div.
Wow.
Wally. Now...
He was on earlier. He's quite good, isn't he?
Well,
he's very good. Very professional.
His team won an award as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Don't...
I didn't see him there, though.
No. So, could you find that song?
Glad to be Unhappy.
By the Mamas and the Papas.
Sure. What do you need it for?
Now.
Oh.
Because Kath's getting on my nerves. I think she's had too... I think you've had too much airtime today. I think you've had too much something today. What have you got in the papers, love? Bearing in mind, you're now just filling until Kelly finds a record. So...
You say record weird.
No, I don't. I say record.
Yeah, exactly.
Record you in a minute.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I bought the boy... The boy's record player arrived yesterday. Within 3 seconds, the youngest had broken the cover of it. Guys?
It's only 1:42, that song.
We'll have it now, then. Because it's a little bit tense in here. It's got a bit cold in here. I don't know why. Mm. You feel it, Kathleen? Kath? Do you feel the chill? The cold chill of bitterness? You feeling that? Resentment.
This award ruined you.
Luckily, I'm a professional because I stopped myself saying something there that I would have regretted.
Oh.
Have you got the song yet?
It's just downloading. Hang on, I might have something else.
No, I don't want something else.
Hello, two counties. Oh, hi. Hi, Dave. How are you? Yeah. Do you want to have a chat with him?
You,
Hold on, Dave.
You need to be a bit more professional. On air.
Right.
If you've got a beef off air, that's fine. We can talk about it.
Got a beef what?
Right back now.
If you've got a beef off air, have it off air. Have a beef off air. Don't do it on air.
I haven't got beef.
Then what's all this?
I'm just letting you do your thing. I mean...
No, you're...
My job is to make you sound great, so sometimes that's just by backing off and letting you...
No, my job is to sound great. Your job is to not have a cob on.
I'm fine.
Well, why have you got a cob on, then?
You call me Div.
With good reason.
Harsh.
What do you want, Dave?
Oh, good morning, Vosh.
Yeah, go on.
Right, a cat.
Sorry?
A cat.
Yes.
You're talking about cat paws.
About cat paws?
Well...
What on earth are you on about?
Catherine was...
Oh,
yeah, you liked my phone in, did you?
Thanks, Catherine.
You're welcome, Dave. It's always good to hear from you. What were you going to say?
Well, when the cat sticks his paws into you.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll come back to you after this.
So you're saying about cats, Dave?
Yeah, Catherine. You know, have you ever seen a cat when it gets into its basket, it'll turn and turn and turn and stick its paws into the bottom?
Yeah, why would it do that?
Right, and it sounds when it gets on your lap and it digs its paws into your leg.
Yes.
Because it thinks it's going to sleep on a snake.
You what? Where did that come from?
I've known all about that for years.
Cats are obsessed with snakes?
It feels it's frightened it's going to sleep on a cat atop of a snake. It'll turn to make sure there's no snake under that item that it's going to sit on.
But these cats have never seen... My sister's cat's never seen a snake.
But it's instinct of wild animals.
Oh.
Who's that laughing in the background, what I just said? Is that the boss?
Well.
Yeah.
Right, Catherine. Why are you indulging this Muppet with his fantasies?
Because my sister's cat is a house cat. He does watch quite a lot of telly.
Excuse me, this Muppet? Who are you talking about, this Muppet?
I'm talking about you, Dave. Because a cat, when a cat sits on my lap and claws me, it does. Mike Velvet does not think she's going to sleep on a snake.
Ask anyone regarding cats.
Why? It's not. How does Velvet, who grew up in a pub in Old Street in London until the age of two, and then she lived in Quite Well Stew in North London? Does she think that there's going to be an anaconda or an adder?
Television,
because they think they're. Old animal.
They think it's called animal.
No, it's wild animal. It's going back.
It's wild animal, but it's not wild animal. It's tame animal.
You are somebody to tell you about why a cat gets into a basket and it will keep on turning and digging its paws.
All right, I'm going to ask Kelly. Kelly, why does a cat go into a basket and go in a circle and dig its claws?
To get comfortable.
No, it's frightened. It's going to sleep on top of a snake.
You know what we need here, Dave? A catologist.
Right, yeah. Someone on regarding cats.
A petspert.
Look, what's Kelly laughing for?
Right, Dave, you've given us the most bizarre phone-in we've ever done.
Right, just get
someone... Can I just say that I didn't know Dave was going to... talk such nonsense when I put him on air.
Kelly? Right, Kelly. You wait till I see you.
I'm really having to bite my tongue. All this conversation about sitting on snakes, I'm having to bite my tongue so much. We need a catspert. If that's you...
Or a petspert.
Or a petspert. 08459-455-555. Cats walk round in circles and baskets and claw my lap because they think they're going to sit on a snake. Matt called in, right? I decided to ban Caro Emerald from my show because her songs are, let me think. Oh, yeah, rubbish. Okay, they're affected. You think Kelly's acting today. Man, you should listen to Caro Emerald's records. So, we played a Caro Emerald song. I banned her to clean out the gullet and the canals of my listeners. I played a Beatles song. Matt took great offence at this. Have a listen to what he had to say.
You just slag Caro Emerald.
Sorry?
You played Carla Emerald.
Who?
Carla Emerald.
I don't know a Carla Emerald. Oh, do you mean Caro Emerald?
All right.
Well, if you're phoning up to Defender, try and get a name right. Carry on, Matt.
OK. And you slagged Emerald, Carla Emerald. And
who?
Then
who did I slag?
Then you put the Beatles on. What a load of old rubbish.
Sorry?
You make me laugh.
You make me sick.
You talk about Fleetwood Mac, you think you know it, and then you compare people like the Beatles with Christy McPhee, the
what?
Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, I've not compared the Beatles with Fleetwood Mac. I said Caro Emerald, for that's her name, was
Caro
rubbish.
Caro Emerald, yes.
Sorry?
Yes. Go on.
Now, what did you say? What did you say? Think her name was again?
Caro Emerald.
Caro Emerald?
Yes.
Say it.
Caro...
What? Caro Emerald.
Caro Emerald, yeah.
What?
Yeah, go on then. What were you going to say?
I said she was rubbish and that to undo all the... If you got bitten by a venomous snake, right, that wasn't being sat on by a cat, you'd need an antidote, OK?
Yeah.
Same thing. If you listen to rubbish music, you need an antidote.
You say she is rubbish, you don't know anything about music.
Well, I do. I know that Caro Emerald is rubbish.
And you see, you say she's rubbish, and then you listen to Fleetwood Mac, the greatest group in the world.
Well, I'm not saying Fleetwood Mac are rubbish. You don't even know the woman's name, and you're banging on about her.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Well, it does matter, Matt, doesn't
it? Brilliant.
Matters to her and her mum.
But then you put the Beatles on, which is a complete contrast.
Yeah, it's a contrast. You're right. Yeah, I'll agree with you. It's a contrast. No, it's not rubbish. The Beatles are good. Caro Emerald is not. You're the only person, Matt, in the world who thinks that Caro Emerald is better than the Beatles.
Well, I think she's brilliant.
I think you should apologise.
And she has got the same type of voice as Imelda May. Have you heard of Imelda May?
Oh, for goodness sakes. Apologise now.
I will not apologise.
Apologise now,
no,
Matt.
I will not.
Then get off my show.
Okay.
Off now. Goodbye, Matt.
See you, mate.
Ta-ta. Then John called in about or from Stoke Mandeville. Don't remember.
From.
Best call ever.
Really?
Yeah.
What was it? Let's have a listen.
Okay, yeah.
Good morning, Ian.
John, what have you got for us?
Well, actually, I'm just ringing up mainly defence of the previous call. I think his name was Matt, was it?
Matt in Luton, yes.
Yes, he's obviously a very sensible chap because, like me, he realises that the Beatles are and always have been absolute rubbish.
John, but what's your serious point you'd like to make, John?
That is a serious point. They're possibly the most overrated group that ever existed. And as someone who I believe actually supports or is a fan of the Monkees, quite clearly, you have no taste whatsoever in music. I mean, if I remember back in the day, the fans of the Monkees were 12 and 13-year-old girls. So, you know, I'm not sure where this leaves you at all.
Well, John,
I've noticed before, you go very quiet. When you realise that someone's talking sense and has got one over on you, you just go all very quiet. You usually leave it to Catherine or Kelly to step in. Anyway, look, I've got to go now because my toaster just popped out the toaster and I need to butter it.
Yeah, get to that toast, John.
I might ring you again sometime. That's very kind of you anyway.
Please
Thank you very much.
Bye, John.
Please ring me again, John.
Oh, yeah, I will do. It's lovely,
John.
Talking to you girls anyway. At least you're polite. Thank you. Bye.
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 What a good point he made.
Yeah, excellent point.
Are you all right, Ian? Ian? Ian?
Oh, yeah, that was good! That was a good call! Anyway, here comes some more stuff. Wagwan, Ken!
Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Kenneth. What have you got for us?
I heard you having a go at Matt this morning.
No, I didn't have a go at Matt. He was just talking rubbish.
No.
For those who missed it, Matt said that Caro Emerald was better than the Beatles. Well, he didn't say that because he didn't even know her name.
Well...
Shame on the... Shame. You can't defend someone.
I don't know. But, listen...
Yeah? I'm listening, Ken.
This sums you up. Ian. Oh. Now, Matt, are you listening? Right.
Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. Well, I must be a hell of a man.
What are they laughing for?
What are they laughing for? I was, Sorry about that. Now, I think to myself, I like all types of music. See, you're listening, Ian? Ian, he's gone on the quiet tone.
Three Counties Radio. I have literally no idea what's going on. Fair play. Ken's beat him at my own game. He's beat him at my own game.
Across Beds, Hearts and Bucks.
This is Ian Lee.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Oh, can I just say, great news.
Yes.
I'm furious with Paul Scoynes.
What's he done again?
He's only just started listening to the radio at 8 o'clock. He's
right.
Also sent us a story about it's sexist to use the term sir or miss.
What? Yeah, morning.
Mates of yours, are they just?
No, certainly not.
Okay.
No.
Are you scared?
No.
You're a little bit scared,
yeah, morning, sir. Morning.
He
Do you
says,
like Ian? Oh, right, okay.
He says this used to happen in Stantonbury in Milton Keynes. Well, Zoe in Milton Keynes has got in touch. Stantonbury never changed it. Teachers are still called by their first names. Scoynes is wrong.
He's always wrong.
Can we all say it together?
Yeah.
Scoynes is wrong. Scoynes is wrong. Scoynes is wrong. Scoynes is wrong.
I've got a better one. That's the sound of incorrect.
That's the sound of incorrect. That's the sound of incorrect. That's the sound of incorrect.
Lovely.
Any other intros, Kels?
Yeah, this happened.
Hello, yeah, I'd like to go on the radio, please. You're speaking to Steve from Milton Keynes. I'd like to say that I think Ian Lee is fantastic, and he's the best presenter on Three Count on the radio, and I think that the girls are really irritating.
Through,
okay.
Yeah, yes, Kelly.
Fader one.
Yep.
Is Steve.
Yep. Steve. Morning, Steve.
Okay. Hello.
You're in Milton Keynes. What would you like to say?
Oh, I think you're the best presenter on the radio. And Cuff and Kelly are rubbish.
Listen. I agree, but let's not be rude about members of my.
No, they're rubbish. And they're bringing you down, and you won the award despite them, not because of them.
Yeah, well, listen, we can't really talk. I think that's unfair to pick on my team. What do you think about the Travellers?
And I think Paul Scoynes is a joke.
All right, Steve, I agree with what you're saying, but I'm going to have to let you...
No, don't cut me off.
I'm going to have to cut you off.
No, don't do it.
I'm going to cut you off.
No, don't. I'm going to cut you off.
Well, this is a powerful call, powerful radio. Kath?
I just took a call from someone who gave me some really good points and then didn't want to come on
air. Who are they? Listen, guys, we're not the Samaritans. We're not the Citizens Advice Bureau. Stop calling up unless you want to come on air like Steve.
I do love a chat, though. I mean...
I know, man alive.
I would miss you if you didn't, but...
But no, don't.
Come and say it to him as well. I know he's unapproachable and difficult to handle, but...
Steve would disagree.
Steve didn't sound like someone... in his right
Steve sounded,
body.
Steve. Back to transgenders. What's your beef with those guys?
No, what
or
I'm
girls?
Saying is he sounded like he was distracted by something else. Like something was going on there. I don't know what it was, but it's something just a bit fishy about Steve.
The thing, what I'm enjoying at the moment is I'm enjoying talking as I've got a sweet in my mouth.
Why?
I don't know. It's just a fun thing to do. Why don't you try it at home? But the thing about Steve, the thing about my callers is a lot of them...
Oh, sniffing as well. People love that on air, don't they? Eating on air and sniffing.
They do love eating and sniffing. Anyway. You got a mouthful of sausage?
I'm trying as well.
That's just offensive. You're not going to have to do that voice since the 70s.
Oh, stop it.
Now, the thing about my callers and my listeners are, Catherine, is a lot of them are in powerful, influential positions, and they use me as a kind of mindfulness. Hashtag trendy. And so they are distracted by running a bank, doing open-heart surgery, or sailing to the moon, flying a rocket ship to the moon.
And that was what was going on with Steve.
Possibly. He's a busy guy.
Good explanation, thanks.
Thanks very much indeed. That was good.
It was.
Do you want to introduce one, Kath?
Do you know the bit I found really funny?
Yeah?
This bit.
There's nothing in the papers.
There is.
What?
Gay penguins.
What? Gay penguins.
Two gay penguins.
To the Isle of Wight.
I mean, why can't you just be a bachelor? And why can't two men live together, maybe raise a child together, without everyone talking about what they may or may not be doing behind closed bedroom doors?
Listen, as long as the penguins aren't ramming it down my throat, I'm not bothered.
Two gay penguins, this is the Daily Telegraph's words, not mine, are rearing a chick that was abandoned by its parents at a wildlife park. It's two men and a baby. The male penguins, Jumbs and Kermit...
What's two men and a baby?
It's three men and a baby. Ted Danson was barely in that. I think that was Trey's description.
I didn't like Three Men and a Little Lady. You know, there's talk of making another one, Three Men and a Grown Woman. That's true. That is true.
It's already been made, hasn't it? The male penguins, Jumbs and Kermit, surprise zookeepers by ignoring their many female counterparts having eyes only for each other.
Mm.
Well, maybe they just get on. After forming their unlikely friendship, they built a nest where they successfully hatched a discarded egg. Well done. The men don't. The male penguins look after the chicks anyway.
I don't care.
I've seen Happy Feet. That's what happened in there.
Yeah, I've seen Rio too. There's no penguins in that.
No, but penguins are different kettle of
Andrew.
Fish.
Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Andrew. Please bring some decorum to what is rapidly becoming a farce.
Andrew, you know this thing about male penguins, don't you?
No, no.
They have
no.
the eggs on their feet. They're not allowed to touch the ground. They do. They're very caring.
No, no.
Anyway, these penguins have looked after the...
what do you reckon, Andrew? This is the phone-in today. Should gay penguins be allowed to adopt?
Of course, yes.
Why?
Should.
Don't the baby penguins, I believe they're called chicks, don't the chicks need a female influence?
No, we don't need a female influence.
08459 455 555. Should gay penguins be allowed to adopt? What do you want, Andrew?
Yes, there's just called at the station this morning, and I've called out to bring harmony.
Please do, it's uncomfortable.
Yes, I think I'm going to wrap both your knuckles. If you can't
play
nicely, I'm going to have to send both of you to the naughty step. Now, moving on. Did you see that footage of that cat attacking that dog and saving that little boy?
Yes.
Isn't it marvellous?
Yes.
The next cat that follows me home, I'm going to have to adopt it.
Well, no, hang on, no.
It might be someone's pet, Andrew.
Yeah, you can't do that, Andrew.
No, only if it follows you home. I mean, if it's clearly homeless.
Do you often get followed home by cats?
I do, yes.
Why?
There's a couple around here that have followed me home, and actually my neighbour said, why don't you adopt it? I said, I can't. I know who the owner of it is.
Do you keep tuna in your pocket?
No.
No? There's a little bit of tuna in your pocket?
No. Nothing like
cats
that.
Cats do that thing, don't they? If you stroke a cat outside, I always stroke a cat outside the house, then they
yes.
follow you.
Yes.
And you're going,
up
go
the road from
go
me,
back.
It's called Ginger, and if I call Ginger, I don't know what his name is, but I call him across the road, and he comes across, come on, Ginger, across the road, and I make sure it's safe to cross.
Well, I would make sure that first.
Yeah, so I live in a little village, so...
If I found some weird bloke who's got a strange voice calling my cat across the road, I'd go out and thump him one.
Why?
Don't encourage my cat to cross the road, you weirdo.
No, I make sure it's
I'll dump him, and
no,
if it was you...
He's very much the cat crossing patrol.
Oh.
I make sure the cat's safe.
You're a cat cross-dresser?
Huh?
Sorry?
I make sure the cat's safe. It comes over to see me anyway, this ginger cat, anyway. So.
All right.
Because you've got tuna in your pocket, you've just said.
I haven't got tuna
your,
in my pocket.
Your sort make me sick. Computer.
Mouse.
Cat.
Dog.
Pet.
Stroke.
Hospital.
Ward.
Court.
Tennis.
Balls.
Bounce.
R. Kelly.
Bump and grind.
My house.
No, not again.
You don't have to say it really quickly. You can take your time with it.
You're supposed to get faster, but we're obviously quite rusty, aren't we? It's been a long time since we played this game.
Yeah. If you're playing it slow, I'll play it slow.
Okay, play it slow with Kath. Let me watch.
Go on then, Kath. Shirt off.
Okay, here we go. Mm. You can be skins, I'll be shirts.
Cool.
That's the teams.
All right.
Right. Pants.
Bra.
Be quicker than that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
She threw me off with bra. You win.
All right, I'll go. Jacket.
Coat.
Hair.
Spray. Because of hair.
She won't. Send him five people out and a fire engine to rescue a dove. Are you taking the... Are you having a laugh? That does seem like a ridiculous waste of resources. It's a dove. Got stuck in a net. I really think both the RSPCA and the fire service have embarrassed themselves on this one. Imagine being the RSPCA officer. Again, an organisation that generally I have a lot of time for. They do a lot of good work. They get called to a Tesco. There's a dove stuck in a net. The RSPCA fella looks at it and goes, what's the best thing to do? I mean, we could all kind of ignore this. It's only a dove. Or... Hang on, where's my phone? 999. Yeah, fire service, please. Yeah. Yeah, it's the RSPCA. Nope, not a deer. Nope, not a dog. No, it's not a lion. No, it's not gay penguin. No, it's a dove. Yeah, a dove stuck on a net. Yeah, on the roof of Tesco's. Okay. Yeah, see you in 10. I actually held my phone while I was doing that. Kieran's in Dunstable. Morning, Kieran.
Morning, Ian. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, but I'm angry, to be honest. I'm angry with the RSPCA and the fire service. They've embarrassed themselves.
Well, in my regard, you can sort of see from both sides of the story. You've got to think about it. The bird got stuck in a net, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, a human. Why shouldn't it be a human then be able to go and help rescue that poor wild animal?
Say that again.
So, it must have been a human being or a person to put the net up in the air that the wild bird got stuck in. Yes,
it's to stop pigeons landing and nesting there, yeah.
All right, so if a human put it up, so why can't it be a human to go and help them?
Well, but hang on a second. It's up there to stop birds nesting there. It was doing its job.
Yeah. But is it right that we put nets up to stop birds nesting and settling?
Yes.
Why?
Well, because they do damage to buildings.
All right, so if the birds remain up there and die and create diseases and the feathers fell down, it's like little children breathed in the dirty, dusty feathers, is that all right then?
If the little children breathed in the dusty feathers, would that be all right? What disease is a dove carrying?
Well, all birds carry diseases.
All birds carry diseases?
Yeah. If the bird stays up there and it rots and remains, go horrible. It's kind of like infected, like bacteria and stuff like that, isn't it?
Is it worth calling out the fire brigade, a service that saves lives and is also being cut back drastically in an effort to save money? Is it worth calling them out?
Yeah, like the fireman said to you, it all depends on the situation, doesn't it?
Do you really think...
it's only a bird.
Kieran, do you really think that a fire engine and five firefighters should be called out to rescue a dove that's got his foot trapped? Seriously?
Five is extreme, yes, but...
But that's what they sent out. Five firefighters, it will be a minimum of four, probably five firefighters, went out to rescue a dove. Kieran, seriously, there is no way, if that dove had died, it's not going to kill a child.
Well, it could do.
A dead dove on a roof. There are dead doves everywhere. Not everywhere, that's an exaggeration. But there are dead animals in all kinds of places. And you don't see children collapsing in the street because of it.
No, but what I'm saying, if it was at a shopping centre and the feathers falling down or the spurs or anything, that height could harm humans.
Is that one dead dove on the roof of a Tesco's in...
For a start, that's why the nets are up there, to stop pigeons nesting and spreading their diseases.
Exactly! So it's doing its job.
So a dead dove is up. So if a dead dove is stuck in there, it's going to spread diseases.
One dead dove stuck on the roof of a Tesco's in Welling is not going to kill a child.
I did say it was going to kill a child, so it could make someone poorly sick, couldn't it, through the feathers and the
how is
and
a
all that.
I don't know how a dead bird's feathers make someone poorly. When has this ever happened?
If there is a vet listening to this show right now, please phone Ian Lee and explain the diseases birds carry in their feathers.
Oh, so hang on a second. So you're saying this, but you don't actually know it's true?
Well, I know it's true, because
But you just asked for someone else to call in with Ev!
I can't medically tell you what the birds carry, but birds do carry diseases.
But you don't know that they carry diseases, because you're now asking for someone to come and back you up. You can't come on with half an argument, Kieran, and then call
it's
for
someone...
It's
argument.
Not tag
just,
team I'm wrestling.
Saying, I'm just saying I don't know the full medical terms or whatever. It's birds carry the diseases.
Kieran, thanks very much for your call. 08459 455 555. Is it true? I was harsh there with Kieran. Could a dead dove on the roof of a Tesco's in Welling kill a child? That's the question. Head of Aylesbury Grammar School has apologised after a picture of three of its students blacked up and dressed as the Jamaican bobsleigh team appeared on Twitter. The students were at a film-themed Leavers event and decided to go as the cast of Cool Runnings. The school removed the picture after receiving complaints. Joined now by Darcus Howe, writer, broadcaster and anti-racism campaigner. Morning, Darcus. What's your reaction to this?
Good morning. My reaction to it is... I celebrated 52 years of being in England a couple of weeks ago. And I just thought, after 52 years, six children and seven grandchildren, they are open to this kind of nonsense. And it's not complaint about racism. I will say quite quietly, they're not going to put up with it. Of all my children and grandchildren, not one of them would say, well, we understand. They get at the throats of those who seek to demean them and to create around them the children of inferior people. They're not going to get away with that.
What do you mean by not get away with it?
Well, if you could do it and we will cover in corners and saying, please don't do that to us. It's going to be a fight to the finish. That's what I'm saying. We will gather in large numbers. We will protest. The week before that, right down at the back here in Norwood, they had another protest of the same thing to do with children. Lined up on the basis of color with the black at the back. That's what they did recently. It's a new disease that is infecting the educational system.
Do you think that four young people, blacking up to represent the characters from the excellent film Cool Runnings, is that racism? Is that the same as getting black kids to stand at the back in a school?
I don't know who you are, but you are not going to put me on the back foot, to use a cricketing metaphor. There is a whole tradition of anti-racism that began here on a mass basis after the war, increasing and intensifying by the hour. So if you don't know how we would react, then you've been ignoring us for the last 50 years.
Duckers.
And questioning me on the break of the morning whether my children should put up with that crap. Answer, my dear friend, no.
Okay. Duckers, you agreed to come on at the crack of the morning. I'm just asking you, is it racist?
Are you cheeky? Is it racist?
That's the question, Duckers,
I'm not answering that. You make your mind up whether what your people do is racist. We are saying,
my people,
do not go along putting us in lines and taking the piss out of black children.
Duckers.
You can't do it.
Duckers.
We won't allow you.
Duckers, watch your language. We've got young ears listening, please. Thank you. What do you mean by my people?
I am a Negro first.
Yes.
Time you call me Negroes. Black people, do not speak as though we didn't carry out and continue to carry out Herculean struggles against racism in this country.
Duckers, if I were to say your people, referring to black people, I would be labelled as inappropriate.
No, I would just ignore you.
But you've referred
to... We don't label it inappropriate.
But you've referred to my people. I don't know what you mean by that. You mean white
people? I'm a West Indian. I was born and fell from the comfort of my mother's womb on the 26th of February 1943.
What do you mean by your people, Darkus?
West Indians and blacks from Africa.
When you say to me, your people, what do you mean by that?
Ask Mr. Farage.
Darkus, what it sounds like you're doing is you are labelling and grouping all white people together.
If you think that I sound, that's what I sound as. If you know what my work has been over the last 50 years.
I'm very aware of your work, but I'm surprised.
Hold on, let me finish.
No, I'm surprised you're using such lazy language as your people, because I'm a big admirer of your work.
Maybe that is a problem that blacks have. We have language lazily.
But if that's the problem that black people have, then why would you then express
that? No, that's what you're saying.
I've got no idea where this is going.
You have no idea what I'm doing. Probably where you live, there are very few of us. So you have not in any social contact with people who come from the Caribbean and so on. You seem to know nothing.
Duckers, you've spoken to me for 3 minutes. You're making huge, massive assumptions, and you are using the terms that if I used at you would be deemed as offensive. I'm surprised, Duckers, that you're resorting
that is
to
your
these.
Business,
I'm surprised, Duckers.
I'm going to
finish a sentence.
To see a psychiatrist if you're surprised.
I see him every Thursday. I am surprised, Duckers. I'm surprised, Duckers, you're resorting to this. You're better than this.
You can't speak to me like that.
I am
71 years old.
I don't care,
sir. With children and grandchildren.
I couldn't care less.
Who have come home, who as children, little children, who came home thinking, Dad, they called me this at school. Gollywog. I had to go through that with you.
Why defend it? Why are you taking that out of me, Duckers? I didn't
because
do it.
Because you are interviewing me and I'm replying.
No, I think
you normally you speak to black people who bow and bend. I don't. You interfere with me, you get it.
But Duckers, with permission to speak freely, sir, I've not interfered with you. I've asked you a couple of questions. You've used lazy generic terms. You've lumped me in with Nigel Farage, despite yourself saying you have no idea who I am. I'm really disappointed that this is the best you can do. I thought you were better than this, sir.
You don't know anything about me.
I know
at
more
all.
About you than you know about me. Done my research.
Yes, research. What, Google?
No, I've watched you over the last 20 years, sir.
How old are you?
I'm 41.
Oh, you're a child. I have children older than you.
Darkest, what has age got to do with it? With the greatest of respect, I'm finding
that,
you...
And then, as you preface an answer with the greatest of respect, it means that you are very nervous about what you're talking about.
Not in the slightest, mate.
And you didn't get the answers you expect.
I didn't expect you to refer to white people as your people. I didn't expect you to lazily lump me in with Nigel Farage when you have no idea what my politics are. I expected you...
You
have done. I expected you.
There
I expected
is a movement
you.
In this
I
country
expected
about immigrants.
Better from you, Mr. Howe.
By Farage.
I expected better from you, Mr. Howe.
I don't know what side of the barrel you are on.
But you've already made that assumption. You've assumed that when I talk to black people, they are. I expect them to bow and scrape to me. Darkus, I say, sir, shame on you for having such lazy, narrow-minded
you sound
thinking.
You're going for election.
I'm really, Darkus, I'm going to end it. I'm going to end it here. I'm really disappointed, Mr. Howe. I'm really disappointed. I expected better from you.
This morning. You could be disappointed. I'm appointed.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for your time.
Yes. Have a good day.
Oh, I'm going to. Bye.
No.
They said all you wanted me to record was me saying bye.
I want you to say that's the podcast.
We're recording this a day after we recorded the rest of the podcast links due to a technical error, or as we like to call it. A cock-up. I've just been rushed out of the bustling 3CR office to record an outro for this week's podcast. Kelly missold it to me. She told me that I only had to say goodbye. It looks like we could be here for a few minutes. That's my estimation voice.
I know, I love it. It's good. Estimate something else.
I don't need to.
What about if you did?
Well, I don't. I mean, I do this voice, I don't know, two or three times a day. So that's the podcast. That's my estimation voice. Take something off your keyring and chuck it away. You don't need it. Peace out. Wagwan. Love and respect. See you later. Ta-ra.
Thanks for listening to this free download from BBC Three Counties Radio, your local radio station for Beds, Hearts and Bucks on FM, AM, digital radio and online at bbc.co.uk/threecounties.